Today's scripture is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verses 1 through 4, and Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. First from Isaiah 44. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you, who formed you in the womb and will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They shall spring up like a green tamarisk, like willows by flowing streams. And now from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, all right, everyone, we are starting a new sermon series today because it is summer, and if it was a normal week, I would say you've been outside, you've been in the sun, it's been hot, but like we were all inside all week long because we couldn't breathe, and then it stormed, so that doesn't work as well. But normally, you would be outside, you'd be hot and sweaty, and this is the time of year where I personally have to remind myself that my iced coffee does not count as a hydrating beverage. I hope some of you are with me on that. And so when we're outside in the heat, in the sun, we can get parched. We can get parched so easily, and we don't even know it's happening until it's happened to us. Like we start getting a headache, our throat gets dry. I personally get really grouchy when this happens. And the only way to fix this problem is through a nice cold drink of water. And so the same thing can be true for our spiritual lives. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we feel dry and thirsty, and we're not quite sure why or what to do to fix it. And so that's what we're going to be looking at together over the next 5 weeks. Now, I want to tell you about the next 5 weeks, because the next 5 weeks, we are going to look at five different spiritual practices. And as Pastor Javon and I planned this series together, as we were praying about it and thinking, okay, what do we want people to really walk away with? One thing was very clear to us. We do not want you to walk away from the next 5 weeks saying, wow, I learned a lot about spiritual practices. I don't want this to be an intellectual exercise for us. What my hope and my prayer is that we would actually leave this space with a different tool each week, a different tool on how to connect with God, on how to fill our spirits back up, on how to quench those dry places. So that's my hope for us. We're gonna pray, and then we're gonna look at week one, our first spiritual practice. Will you pray with me? God, we come to this place in different places. We've had different experiences that have led us here. We are carrying different things. We might even feel different ways toward you. But Lord, what I know is that you are a God who meets us wherever we are, whenever we're there. And so, Lord, our prayer today is that you would do just that. That you would meet us in these places where we need to encounter you, and that you would show us different ways to connect back to this God who loves us so much. So Lord, be with us this morning, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today we are starting with what I think is the most important practice we could look at as we're going to see what can help us when we feel parched. And so today's practice is paying attention. Or as the sermon notes very aggressively say, pay attention. So paying attention, and this might not be a thing that you think of as a spiritual practice, right? It feels a little atypical for when we talk about this, but paying attention is simply the act of noticing what's going on inside you and around you. And so that's what we're looking at today. And today I want to invite you to consider a question as we get started. When was the last time that you really paid attention? So you have this sermon note sheet. I actually want to invite you to write that question down because my guess is that's not the easiest, simplest question for a lot of us to answer. And it's okay if you can't answer it in this moment. But I want you to take that question with you this week and think about, when was the last time I really stopped and noticed and listened and paid attention? Now, I'm going to share a story with you this morning that I very much hope was not the last time that I paid attention because it happened 20 years ago. And so if that's you, that's okay. There's no judgment here. But my hope is we're in a better rhythm than that of paying attention to what's going on in our lives. But when I was a sophomore in high school, I was in this advanced biology class because, of course, I was in an advanced biology class. It was great. It was so much fun. And the teacher of this class was obsessed with birding, like bird watching, okay? But it's called birding, that's the official title for it. So he was really into birding. And so that meant that us as his class, we were also into birding by association. And so if you took this class, you knew what you were signing up for was about 6 weeks of early morning field trips to go bird watching with this teacher. So every Saturday morning for like 6 weeks, we would show up at school at 6 a.m., we would get on a bus, and we would go to some random state park in Indiana, and we would look for birds. Now, you might think that a bunch of teenagers would not willingly sign up for weekends going bird watching, but we actually totally loved doing this activity. We would get so excited when we would spot a bird. He even went so far as to assign us a bird for the whole, like we had our bird that we had to learn everything about. We had to know what it sounded like. We had to imitate its call for the whole class. Do you think I still remember mine? I do. It was, this is going to be great. It was, Peter, 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 Peter. And some of you are bird watchers, and maybe you know what bird that was. But the point is, we were so into it, because at the end of the semester, you took this huge test, and you had to identify 90 birds. And if you could do that, you got a reward. Do you want to know what the reward was for a semester full of 6 a.m. field trips and public humiliation in front of all of your peers? It was more bird watching. It was. So if you passed this test, you got to go on a trip to Georgia where you spent 4 days doing birding with this teacher. And I just want you to imagine this. Jeff Hockey brought me these binoculars, and they are perfect for this illustration. So it was like 50 teenagers walking around this state park in Georgia, just like this, quiet, looking for birds, listening. And honestly, we were so into it. We loved it. I mean, it is one of those things that you have to really pay attention because those birds blend in. I mean, I think we have a picture, which Jeff also took, because Jeff is my birding friend here. But birds blend in. They move fast. They're gone before you know it. And if you're not still, if you're not aware, if you're not really intentionally paying attention, you're going to miss that moment. And so I would tell you, we learned a lot about birds in this class, like more than I ever thought I would learn about birds. But I think what we really learned in this class is that our whole perspective changes when we let ourselves pay attention. And I don't know about you and where your life is right now, where your faith is right now, but sometimes we really need that kind of perspective shift. In fact, when I look at this scripture that we read today, the one out of Isaiah, this scripture is all about that, about changing our perspective and seeing something different when we pay attention. This is a message from God to this group of people called the Israelites. And the Israelites are a complicated group of folks because on one hand, they are dearly loved by God. These are God's people. And on the other hand, they are always in conflict with this God who loves them so much. If you read through the Old Testament, you see this over and over. It's this love, conflict kind of story. And when they're talking, when God is talking to the people here, God is saying, you know, you see one very specific way of viewing your life, but I want you to know there's actually something more. And they really needed to hear this message because these were people who in that moment were barely holding on to hope. I mean, they had been through something called the exile. And if you hear me preach about the Old Testament enough, you're going to hear me talk about the exile over and over again. Because this event was the thing that defined an entire generation of people. And it was really complicated because, again, these were people that God loved. And so these were people that for so long in their story, they had been living in God's promise. I mean, God had said, I will be your God. You will be my people. I will give you this land. You're going to have a great life in this place. And so they kind of had it all made until they didn't, until things radically changed for them. And then instead of feeling like they were living in this wonderful place with every blessing at their fingertips, their lives started to fall apart. They were taken from their homes. They had to go live somewhere else. They witnessed violence and grief, and every single piece about their life started to fall apart. And so when God speaks to these people in this passage of Isaiah, He's speaking to people that when they look at their lives, they think, my whole story is one of grief and failure and sadness. And you know what? That's true. Those are parts of their story. But we know whenever God gets involved, that that's never the whole story. And it actually makes me think about what can happen in our own stories. I mean, how many of you had a bad day this week? It's okay, you can raise your hand. I did too, it's fine. So we have a bad day, right? And what do? Our whole perspective gets wrapped up in that one thing. I mean, I can have a day, I can have a moment, and this like one thing happens, and it just gets under my skin. It makes me really mad. And I'll come home, and Zach will be like, how was your day? And I'm like, it was the worst day. And like 10 great things happened. But I don't see those great things. I only see the one bad thing and I fixate on it. That's what's happening with these people that God is talking to. They can only see the bad piece of their story. And so God says, people, that's part of it, but there's more. And I want to tell you about it. So this is what God says to them. God says, do not fear. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. See, God, when God is talking to the people, God's pretty honest about the state of how things are. God says, you are afraid. But I want you to know that even though you're afraid, even though you're grieving, there's going to be more to this story. There's going to be blessing. There's going to be goodness, but you have to pay attention or you're going to miss it. It makes me think of a book that came out a few years ago, a book by Ross Gay called The Book of Delights. I don't know if any of you have read this book, but this book was basically an experiment that he went on. He said, I want to write one essay a day for an entire year and focus on something that delights me every single day. Now, he said when he started out to write this book, he was actually really afraid because he thought, is it humanly possible for me to find something every single day that delights me? And if I find this thing, like, is it going to be interesting enough for people to want to buy my book and read about it? So he was really skeptical going into this project. But when he was interviewed on NPR, he said it was amazing to him how quickly the study of delight started producing delight in his life. Like once he started looking for it, it was everywhere. He couldn't get away from it. And he said it was the silliest, most mundane things. It was like the hand gestures someone used when they talk, or the way that someone told a joke, or something he saw on his way to work. It was these little things that started springing up delight in his life. And he said those things had always been there, It wasn't like they just changed. But what changed is that I started paying attention. You know, I think this is why I would go so far to call paying attention a spiritual practice, even though it's not one that I normally hear us talk about in church or in spiritual practice spaces. But I think it's important because it lets us notice what God is up to in a different way. It lets us see that, yeah, this is the state of my soul. These are the things going on in the world. And it's not always good. It's not always easy. But maybe God's at work. And maybe I can't see that work until I start intentionally looking for it. And I think as we start to do that intentional work to look for that, what we realize is that the best way that we can grow is when we're paying attention. You know, if we go back to that scripture, I think that is a key part of God's message to the people. Because not only does God want to open up their eyes so that they can have a mental shift, like God wants them to know, yeah, there's more to your story. There's more than what's going on here that you see. But God also wants them to know that if they will let God work in them, God's going to do something with that parched ground. God's going to water the ground, but God's going to go one step further. God's going to grow something in its place. I think God wants to do that with us. God takes those places that feel like they are beyond hope, like they are dead, and God says, I'll not only take care of you, but I'm going to let your life create a different, a better, a more compelling story. And I think when God starts to grow something in us, that's when things start to change. So one thing you're going to hear me say about spiritual practices, and I'm just going to apologize in advance because you'll probably hear it 5 weeks in a row, but you're going to hear me say this about spiritual practices over and over because I believe it's so important, is that we do these spiritual practices for ourselves, but we also do them for others. We do them for ourselves, but we also do them for others. And here's what I mean by that. I believe that God wants us to have good, full, I'd even say probably happy lives. And look, I want that for you too. I'm an Enneagram too. So I just want you to be like good and full and happy at all moments. But I think it's deeper than that. I don't think these spiritual practices are just about self-help or just so that we feel like warm and fuzzy when we leave church. I think these spiritual practices matter because the state of what's going on in here, it's going to impact the things that are going on out there. I mean, we see this, right? When we are parched, when we are dry, when we are not connected to God, the people in our lives feel it. I mean, it comes out with our families. It comes out with our friends. It comes out at work. It comes out in the way that you navigate the 5,000 construction zones within a 2-mile radius of this building. It pours out everywhere. And so it matters that we talk about spiritual practices and take an honest look at what's going on in here. It matters that we tend to this stuff. We want to be people that are engaged in the world. We need to do that. But we also need to go back to the source as we do that work. We need to turn to our God who loves us and wants us to be healthy so that we can create a world that looks more like Jesus. And you know, as we try to create that world, as we try to take an honest look at ourselves, as we try to listen for God, I think the last thing we need to know is we have to know what we're looking for. We have to be able to pay attention and really notice when God is on the move. Because when we know what we're paying attention to, that's when we're able to recognize it. You know, our neighborhood had a block party last week, and it was very chaotic. There was a lot going on. I mean, there were tons of adults, there were kids, there was a band playing, so it was super noisy. And I think there was one moment in this gathering when like 500 children all at the same time just started saying, "Mom, Mom, Mom." Like I just kept hearing kids say, "Mom." It was probably around dinner time, so it made sense to me. But what I thought was so amazing is that in the middle of all the moms, in the middle of all the noise, I could pick out the voices of Hazel and Reese, my two kids. Now, that is not because I have superhuman hearing. In fact, if you have a conversation with me, I'm always like, what? What did you say? So it's not because I have superhuman hearing, but it's because I've been listening to these kids for a long time. I have listened to them in every mood, in every season, in every tone. And so because I listen to them over and over again, I know what their voices sound like. I think we can do the same thing with God. When we listen for God's voice over and over again, we start to recognize it in the middle of all the other stuff. And I'm going to name it today. There's a lot of other stuff, right? Our world is noisy. I mean, we live in a world that it is a constant opinion, feelings, yelling. All this stuff is right in front of us all the time. And I would even be so bold to say that a lot of us feel spiritually parched because we don't know how to turn that noise off. It is just too much. It's too distracting. But the beautiful invitation God has for us is to pay attention to that voice and the way that God's Spirit moves and what's going on in here with us. And so I told you, this was not just a thought exercise. I'm going to give you a tool. And so I want to invite you on the other side of your sermon notes to pull this out. And we've given you a spiritual practice that you can, we're going to do it right here in this room in just a second, but you can take this with you this week. And this is a practice that you can do anywhere. I mean, you can do it at your desk at work when you have a break. You can do it before bed or when you get up in the morning. You could maybe do it in the car, but like, don't close your eyes like I'm about to ask you to do, because that will be a bad situation. Don't do it like that. But again, I want you to realize that spiritual practices, they might seem scary, they might seem abstract, they might seem a little different than what you normally do, but they're so accessible. These are everyday ways we can connect with God. So I want to invite you this morning to just get comfy in your chair. You can close your eyes, however you're able to still yourself and listen. And I'm going to invite us to do some intentional paying attention. There's going to be some moments of silence, so don't be afraid of it. It's okay. It's on purpose. But just let yourself hear my words. Maybe hear what God has to say. And just let yourself be attentive to what's happening. So first, I want to invite you to notice what's going on with your body today. Where is there tension? What feels like it's in a good space? What might your body want you to know? Now notice your spirit. What's happening there? Is it troubled? Is it at peace? Is it ready for action or ready for rest? Is there something today that your spirit is longing for? Now notice the space that you're in. What do you hear or smell or feel? What's worth paying attention to in your present surroundings? Notice the things on your mind. What people, thoughts, concerns or distractions are taking up your mental space right now. Now consider if you want to hold on to those things or if you'd like to release them. Finally, let yourself notice the still, small voice of God. What would God say to you in this moment, exactly where you are and how you find yourself? Jesus, as we get ready to go into our time of communion today, we just pray that you'd meet us right here and right now. Help us be present. Help us pay attention. And help us see that you are at work even in this very moment. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the God that pays attention to us and invites us to do the same. It's in your name we pray. Amen.